I never know what's going to happen from day to day, and how many know what that's like? Your days are full of adventure and things happen. But often I get a word for you from things that go on, things that God reveals to me. Sometimes I know right away what God is saying, what He wants me to share. Other times I'm not quite so sure. Anybody been there? Okay, but I found the Lord to be faithful. That even when I'm coming up to this pulpit and I'm still like, well, God, is this what you want? And if not, God will give me what I need in that hour. I found that to be true. Because some days I just prepare so I have something. Amen. And but I've realized that we need to pay attention to what the Lord highlights. When you're reading the Word, God will highlight something. You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, it's like that Word is coming alive to you. It's a word that God is giving you. He's speaking to you. And what you want to do is you want to grab a hold of that and say, okay, Lord, I'm not going anywhere from here until you show me what you want to show me. And sometimes we can blast through the word, you know, and read, well, I read my three chapters today on my yearly whatever I'm doing here. But we need to really pay attention to what God is saying. And rather than just getting, you know, another check on the list of scriptures, right, or whatever you're doing. So God wants to speak to us. And most often He's speaking to us through the Bible, through the Word. And so we got to pay attention to that. God speaks to us in many ways, and through circumstances, through people, amen? Even through unbelievers, God sometimes will speak to us, right? Even through animals, God can speak. A donkey, right? Okay. Father God, I just thank You that You are the teacher today. And I just want to hide behind You, Lord, and I want You to speak through me. Give me exactly what I need, Lord. You said in the hour that we need, You will give us what we need to say. So, Holy Spirit, thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, one thing is clear. In order for us to enter in to what God has for us, we must first come out of what was. In order for us to enter into what God has for us, we must first step out of what was. Sometimes we want to live in the past. Sometimes we don't want to give up the old way. So we continue to live in the old way, and hopefully we will be able to embrace the new way simultaneously. Well, that doesn't work. In order for you to receive what God has, you have to forsake what was. You have to leave the old for the new. You have to leave death for life. You have to come out of darkness, and then you can enter into light. It's a thing called repentance, isn't it? Changing my mind, changing my direction. I used to think, walk, talk, do these things, but I have left that behind. I've come out of that, and now I'm in Christ. And I'm going to walk in the new day, the new beginning, the purpose of God for my life. I can't live in God's purpose if I'm still living in the past. Or if I'm allowing myself to be tethered to something from my past. To unbelief or unforgiveness. I've got to forsake that which was so that I may embrace what is today. God wants us to walk in the new thing that He's doing, the new day. With Him. Every day is a new day, isn't it? It's a new opportunity for us to bear fruit. And so when you hear the word promised land, as we read in Exodus, you know, of in the promise that God gave to Moses that there would be a land for them flowing with milk and honey, they were all excited about reaching this place eventually. And when they found themselves in the wilderness, they were really blown away by what they encountered. They had no expectation that it was going to be that difficult for them to get to that place of promise. They thought it was going to be smooth sailing because they just experienced all the miracles of God in Egypt. They saw the power of God move mightily there. And now all of a sudden they're finding themselves in this place they've never been before and faced with problems they've never faced before. And then that was where they were going to be tested as to whether or not they would believe the word of God. God brought them there to teach them to believe, to listen and believe His word. That God is faithful to His word. God had given them a promise. But in order for them to get into that promise, they had to come out of what was. God had to take them out of Egypt. Amen. They couldn't stay tethered to Egypt. See, some of them had Egypt still in their heart, didn't they? They were tethered to Egypt. and thinking, well, I don't know, I'm not quite sure I'm going to go all the way with this thing. I still have some affections for what was, and you know, the leeks and the flesh pots and the things that we enjoyed back in Egypt, and they're looking pretty good right now. You know, here I am in this place where I'm starting to hunger, and I'm not so sure that the same God that brought that great deliverance is able to save me now and to help me get to where I need to be. And so human nature often resorts to what's familiar. We go back to what we're familiar with. And I shared this probably about, I don't know, a year ago. But there's a term called the tyranny of the familiar. Have you heard of that? The tyranny of the familiar. Get example on a woman who's been in an abusive relationship. Maybe has been beaten by a husband or a spouse, you know. After a while, it becomes the routine for her. It becomes almost abnormally normal for her. And so even though she may get out of that situation, she quickly finds herself in another relationship that's just like that, because that's what she was used to and familiar with. And there was some sense of security in holding on to something that you're familiar with, even if it's a bad thing. You see, sin is like that. Sometimes people are thinking, I really don't want to let it go because there is some security in that. Or there was some pleasure or something that I was enjoying in that. And yet, in order for you to have the superior, what God is calling you into, which is much better than what you had, you're going to have to let that go. You're going to have to make up your decision, repent, and say, I'm done with that kind of living. I'm done with sin. I'm done with that life because I want to walk with the Lord, amen, in the new beginning, in the new day, in the new creation. And I want to store up for myself treasure in heaven now. Because all the things that we spent ourselves on in this world come to naught, don't they? They're empty. There's no fruit. There's nothing that lasts in this world. The only thing that's going to abide forever is the Word of God. And Jesus said, He who does the will of my Father abides forever. Today, we usually think of Canaan. When you think of the promised land, as Christians, often in our Christian circles, and I've taught this, and I know there's something to this as well, but we think of heaven. Right now, we're in the wilderness, and someday we'll get into glory, amen, into our Canaan, into that land flowing with milk and honey. But remember, in that land that they were being called to, there were some problems there. There were some giants there. How many know there's no giants in heaven? Except the Lord, amen, and the angels, praise God, and they're good giants. Amen. So we need to take a look at this. God was giving them an earthly inheritance. He was saying, I'm going to bring you into a place of abundance. Okay? Now, God is not opposed to prosperity. What God is opposed to is you and I making a God out of the things we possess. Making our God money, for example, right? He's not opposed to money. Money has benefits. Can you say amen? Amen? You can help people if you have money. If everybody's poor, nobody can help anybody. So you're probably thinking, oh, here we go, another prosperity. Well, let me just add a little bit to this, okay? Understand that God is not poor. And the people that God called Solomon and Abraham were very wealthy men, amen, in this world. And we know Abraham was also rich in faith because he believed God. It was accounted unto him as righteousness. And Abraham was going to be able to receive the benefit of his faith even to this very day. As you and I come to Christ, it was because Abraham had believed God. God chosen him, amen, to be the father of the faithful. And through his lineage, the Christ child would be born. Because he believed God, you and I have received the benefits of Abraham's faith. God could have chosen anybody, but Abraham received the benefit of the blessing of God because he believed God. So I believe that God wants to give, for example, his people righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit here and now. Oh, brother. Lord, get me out of this place. I know I've had my days where I feel like, God, I wish the rapture would happen right about now. You know? But what God wants to do is he wants to reveal to us the fact that He is our all in all. We're complete in Him. Our contentment is in Him. Our peace is in Him. Our joy is in Him. Our fulfillment is only going to be found in Him. It's not going to be in this world. If you're trying to make this world heaven, you're going to be disappointed. That's what people are looking for, isn't it? We're looking for heaven. We want to make this world paradise. Well, God blesses His people with good things to enjoy, but not to make gods out of the things that, amen, that He blesses us with. And, you know, I often wonder, maybe sometimes the reason why God doesn't bless people financially, even His people, is because maybe they couldn't handle it. Maybe they're not responsible enough to have that, and it could be an idol in their life, and it could bring about their destruction, because it's happened, hasn't it? Even among believers, and especially, I think, in America, where prosperity has become our goal of just being having the stuff. And we spend ourselves on that and disregard the will of God, which is superior. So I believe God promises His followers blessings while we're still here on the earth. My life has been so blessed since I've come to the Lord in so many ways. And I know it's because of the goodness of God. You know, if we will follow the Lord, He'll take care of us. Jesus said, if we seek first what? The kingdom. Then all these things and His righteousness, then all these things will be what? Added unto us as well. Yeah. So pursue God. Put God first. But you got to come out of what was in order to enter into what He has, which is better. And this is the thing. The devil lies to people and says the old is better. And you know, Jesus said, he who has drunk the old wine doesn't immediately desire the new, because He says the old is what? Better. So what God is offering is superior to what the world offers. At the wedding feast of Canaan, they were bringing out the good stuff in the beginning, and then after people had a little bit of wine for a while, their taste buds got a little numb, then they bring the cheap stuff out. But when Jesus turned the water into wine, what did they say? Said, Lord, man, you saved the best for last, didn't you? This is even better. How many know that God doesn't, He's not cheap. He's extravagant. And God serves the best. Yeah. A lot of times, guys, we just need to change our mentality. If we're going to be walking on gold in heaven, I don't think God's afraid of prosperity, okay? And that He's opposed to you and I having it. What He doesn't want us to do is pursue that. He wants us to pursue Him and His will for us. If God calls us to a life that may be impoverished, but we're in obedience to Him, how many know your reward in heaven will be great? What really matters is that we're obedient, because some people have been given the gift of giving. There's a gift of giving. And in order to have the gift of giving, you have to have something to give. And so God teaches people, and certain people are able to make money. Okay, but it's not just to take upon themselves, but it's for what, Lord, what, for what reason have you blessed me? What can I do with what you've given me? How can I be a good steward over what you've entrusted to me? So you must first come out of the old in order to enter the new. Now listen, in Matthew 1 and 21, this is when the angel announced to Joseph concerning Mary's pregnancy. She'd never been with a man. And the angel came and said, she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from. He didn't say he will save them in their sins. They're not going to be cohabitating with sin. He's going to save them from, out of sin. We need to understand this. God has called you and I to repentance. That means we must come out of sin, out of the old and into the new, out of death into life, out of darkness into the glorious light of Christ. Amen? Amen? The kingdom of His dear Son. Why did Jesus come? He came to save us from sin. He didn't come to patch us up. You know, give us some self-help tips. But He came to transform our lives. And God will work with an individual who's willing to cooperate with Him. I believe very much in the fact that John 1:12 says clearly, to as many as received Him, to them He gave the right or the power to become the sons of God. So there has to be a cooperation there. There has to be a receptive heart. And God is the one that prepares a heart to receive him. And sometimes the adversities in our life are good for us because they bring us to a position where we are humbled now. And we're not so cocky and full of ourselves and self-confident that God, help, is not a good thing. Because when you call out to God and you're trusting God, that's when his grace is strong on you. Because you're not leaning on you, but on him now. That's why Paul had this thorn in the flesh that kept him humbled. He, three times, remember, he petitioned the Lord about it. And the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. For in what? Your weakness, my strength is made perfect. So God doesn't want us to be full of ourselves. God doesn't want us to be strong in ourselves. It doesn't say in Ephesians 6 to be strong in yourself and in the power of your might. But it says be what? Strong in the Lord. And I can't be strong in the Lord if I'm strong in me. If I'm self-confident, I can't be confident in Christ. So God brings us through the conditioning, the preparation, to be a vessel of honor, so he can entrust to us the greater riches of the kingdom, when we can bear more fruit and glorify the Lord and have an abundant welcome someday into heaven. Amen? Amen. So God is at work in our lives, and everything that we're encountering and experiencing, even the things that don't make any sense to us, if we are his planting, if we are born of his spirit, we belong to him, God is at work. Amen? Even if we don't understand why, this is where faith comes in, to where we get into rest and say, I don't have to know. I don't have to have all the answers. I just know that God, you're good, you're with me, you're for me, you'll never leave me nor forsake me, your promises are true. Amen? The woman caught in adultery, here's one. In John 8, in verse 9, it says, when the accusers heard this, now remember, this is where Jesus said, let he who is without sin what cast the first stone. And then he stooped down and he wrote in the dirt. Now, people say either he's writing their names or he's writing their transgressions. Because it says from the oldest to the youngest, they began to leave the scene. Amen. So the older ones knew they had more dirt than the younger ones. Amen. They'd been at it longer. And so Jesus exposed, I believe he was exposing them. And they're realizing that we're all sinful here. We've all blown it. And so, and it says they slipped away one by one, and beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with a woman. And then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and what? He said, go and leave your life of sin. You see, some people just want to stop right there. They don't want to talk about this other part that talks about forsaking the old for the new, that coming out of the old so I can enter into what God has. You can't be double-minded in this. You can't be split in your thinking. Amen. You need to make up your mind who you're going to serve. Amen. We have to repent. That means change our minds, our thinking about this whole thing, and understand that I can't continue to live in the old and receive the new simultaneously. I can't live in death and expect life. So the patriarch Abraham, this is 4,000 years ago, he was living in his homeland of Ur of the Chaldees. And in Genesis 12:1, this is when the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. First thing he said is, you got to first get out of your country. And then what? To a land that I will show you. Out of the old, into the new. He was comfortable. He was probably used to his life. Everything was going my way. You know, he's just used to everything having it his way. And now God interrupts his schedule and says, you're leaving everything you're familiar with, your family, your friends, your country, and I'm taking you into a place you've never been before, and I'm not even going to tell you all the details. All I want you to do is trust me that I've got something better for you up ahead. He says, I'm going to make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. In order for Israel to eventually settle into that promised land, they had to come out, didn't they? Abraham had to obey God in order for them to receive the benefit of his faith. Do you understand that your faith influences others around you? The way you live your life in your body in this world is very important. We're going to be influencers one way or the other. And if we are obedient to the Spirit of God, we will bear good fruit in this life. Amen. People will see the reality of Christ in us. Amen. And they will receive the benefits, even within family structures where they're unequally yoked. There may be a husband or a wife that's an unbeliever. Even they can receive the benefits or the sanctification that flows out from the fact that one of them in that relationship, amen, is right with God. And there's protection even over the children because of that position that that one has in the relationship with Jesus in the family. So understand that our faith is important, not only for self, but for others. Amen. We're not supposed to be living for self. Amen. But we're living for Jesus and for others. And so he said, you got to come out of the bondage. All right. You got to come out of what was the familiar, so that you can enter into what I have for you. Guys, God is interrupting your schedule. He's interrupting mine. He brings us into new things and new places we haven't been before. New experiences, new tests that come along our way. Why? Because God doesn't want us to remain in the same place. God wants to move us on. He wants to move us forward. He wants to bring us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And so we have to learn how to trust Him. And as we learn how to rest in Him, we'll find His yoke is easy, His burden is light. We're not stressed out about all the unknowns. We get to a place where we say, God, I don't have to know all the answers. All I know is You are faithful. And You're with me and You're for me. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'm going to trust You in this. And we're going to do this together. Hallelujah. I'm not alone in it. Man. So Matthew 4:18. Here's Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me and I will what? Make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. What did they do? Immediately left their nets and followed him, right? They came out of what they were familiar with, used to follow Jesus. So after these things, Luke 5:27, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi or Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. Verse 28, so he left all, rose up, and followed him. What did he do? He left all, rose up, and followed. It was just like that. I think if I was a tax collector, I would have done the same thing. Get me out of here. I'm willing to go, Lord. I want a new assignment. I want a new job. But you understand how God knew ahead of time who they were. When Jesus called his disciples, he had spent the night in prayer. The Father had revealed to them who they were. And when he called them, they were spot on. They were ready to come out. Amen. And to join with Jesus. In other words, they immediately left everything that they were used to, they were familiar with, that they might have found some type of, security in. You know, has anybody ever been in a place where everything seemed to be so secure and all of a sudden things change and no longer are you able to depend upon the things you did? I used to be able to rely on that, but now I can't because it's no longer there. And that, you know, the security binky, if you will, got taken away. And now I have to do the new thing. I have to grow up. I have to start learning how to lean on Jesus, how to walk. Amen. I'm not always going to feel His hand on me, but I know He's there because He promised to be there. And this is where we learn to walk by faith, step by step. So in order for them to really accomplish God's will, they had to leave the old. They were willing to come out of that present situation. Now, make a note of this, guys, that sometimes what God calls us out of isn't necessarily a sinful thing, just a familiar thing. Certainly God calls us out of the world, out of the sin, amen, to walk with Him in righteousness. But God calls us also out of something that may be good, but it's not right any longer for us. Sometimes people are saying, oh, I just lost my job. It's the end of the world. No, it's not. It's just a new page. God is going to do something new with your life. Now you get to trust Him and see God come through for you. Amen? And then you have testimonies because you had a test, amen, that you passed. And now I can testify to how God had brought me through that test. And I found out that God actually was faithful. I didn't know that before. I knew that theologically. I knew that concept in my mind. But in reality, well, you have to have the test, amen, to really get to know God really is who He says He is. If you trust Him, you won't be disappointed. You may have to wait. It may be looking bleak for a season, amen. But God will come through. Praise God, He will come through. So you hold the word, Lord, to His word. Lord, thank You that You'll never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, thank You that You are my provider and my God shall supply all my need. Hold Him to His word. Believe and you will see. God will take care of it. Hallelujah. So, I mean, the disciples, they came out of the fishing industry. Nothing wrong with that. It just wasn't for them anymore. God is bringing them into something new. Amen. Sometimes God will call you. Amen. Maybe as a fisherman. Well, God said, I want you to continue fishing. Amen. But I'm going to make you a fisher of men in the midst of your fishing for fish. How about a government job? You know, that's what Matthew was doing, right? He's working for the government. How many know that all government jobs are not bad? Somebody say amen. They may have a bad name, but they're not all bad. Amen. And not everybody working for the government is corrupt, by the way. Amen. But God may call you out of a cushy lifestyle or something that you're used to into something new. He may call you out of a high-paying job to take a low-paying position somewhere that you might serve Him in that position. However, what God will do is He'll reward you eternally with superior benefits. Hallelujah. Store up for yourself treasure in heaven. So sometimes you got to step down in this world to step up spiritually. Israel, they had to come out of that enslavement in Egypt, didn't they? And when God called Saul of Tarsus, remember? He was a terrorist. He was terrorizing the church. He thought he was doing God a favor. So there's hope for terrorists, by the way. Amen. Pray for him. Acts 26:16, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. Paul is now getting a new assignment. Everything that he was used to, everything that he was familiar with is all going to change. He's coming out of something, amen, into something new. And he says, this is what I'm calling you to do in verse 18, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Power of Satan to God. Out of the old into the new. Out of sin into righteousness. Out of death into life. You cannot enter into what God has for you if you're willing to hold on to what's familiar. If God is calling you out of what you're familiar with, then listen to Him. Amen. Otherwise, you're going to compromise what He has for you. You're going to forsake the superior for something inferior, thinking the whole time that you're going to lose something. Well, you're losing every time you say no to God. The reason why many people never get into stability in their Christian walk is because they don't let go of those tethers. They don't get let go of those things that have them tethered to the old life and to the old way. It could be unforgiveness. It could be a besetting sin. Something that God has said, I want you to let it go, and I want you to come with me. Are you hearing me, somebody? And that's why there's unstable people. They're double-minded, and therefore they're unstable in all of their ways. You cannot live both lives. You have to make up your mind who you're going to serve. You have to repent. It's worth it. In the new birth, in Colossians 1:13, it says, He, God, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We've been transferred. Amen? In the army, we call it a transfer, right? You're ETS and you're transferred to a new duty assignment. Well, how many know that in the army, you don't make up your mind? You don't say, you know what? I don't like this unit anymore. I think I'm going to relocate myself. And you're going to jail, right? You just say, okay, yes, sir, no, sir, and we're going to go. If you say go, that's where I got to go. I may not like it, but we need to understand that God is at work in our lives, and He's going to change things at times, and things are going to look differently. How many can say, even looking back over the past year, that there are things that are different now in your life? Things have changed. People are here that weren't here, and people are gone that used to be here even in this last year. I mean, jobs went away. New opportunities opened up. Good things. Not always. Even a negative produces a positive if God is in it. Every negative becomes positive. But He's delivered us out of darkness in Christ. So if any truly born-again believer has had this experience, what has God done? He's rescued us through Christ. Listen to the message of Paul to the Ephesian elders here in Acts 20, in verse 20. He said, I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. The New Living Translation puts it this way. I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or in your homes. Why? Because only the truth is going to set a person free. They have to hear the truth. They have to be told it's not okay. It's not right. Sin has consequences. Amen? But God's way is superior. It's better. You're not going to lose anything when you say yes to God. Testifying, he said to the Jews, I have one message for Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and of having faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The necessity of what? Repenting from sin. I've been criticized. Oh, you talk too much about sin. Guys, listen. People need to be aware of sin before they can come out of sin. People are in sin because nobody told them they're in sin. Amen? We need to know what sin looks like so we can avoid it. Thank God He's given us instruction of righteousness. He's given us His Word. Amen? And what does it do? The Word convicts us. Amen? The Spirit of the Lord and the Word working convicts our hearts. We know, oh, we've been exposed. We're in sin. What can I do? Run to Jesus for grace and mercy. Do you understand? The grace of God allows us opportunity to repent. It never gives us license to sin. It gives us an opportunity to repent from sin. That's the grace of God. It teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. That's right. Mankind is held in bondage by unforgiven sins. Hear this. A person won't be free until they're forgiven. I run into this a lot, where a person is not really repentant in their hearts. They want God's help, but they're not repentant in their hearts. Are you hearing me today? In other words, in the back of their mind, they're still thinking, I'm still going to do this. I'm still going to hold on to that. I still don't want to give that up. But Jesus, I want salvation. I want what you have for me. So in the back of their mind, though, they're saying, I don't want to let go of my old life. And so as a result of that unforgiveness, that unforgiven sin, that sin of rebellion, they remain bound to that sin and unable to get free from that sin. True repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry I got caught. It's saying, I'm sorry enough that I'm never going to do that again. And by God's grace, I'm going to walk in freedom. And when we cooperate with the Spirit of God, He gives us the grace, amen, the power to overcome those things and live free. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I repented, truly repented in my heart. I cast my soul down at the feet of Jesus and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I know I don't have what it takes to do this. And I'm willing to cooperate with you now. I'm willing to listen to you now. I'm willing to forsake the old that I might have the new. I'm willing to forsake death that I might embrace life. And where you are forgiven, you are free. Do you get it? And the bondage is broken. Amen. The demons can no longer hang out. I've forsaken that. I've renounced it. And now I'm in position for the deliverance of the Lord. Amen. The Lord can now come in and work those things out. Amen. Why? Because demons are looking for legal access to us. Those bad spirits that want to mess with us. Amen. Why? Because of cooperation with them.
Right.
You give them permission. You're breaking God's law. But in our hearts, we say, Lord, I repent. I don't want anything to do with the world, the flesh and the devil anymore. I want to live for you. God sees the heart. But if you got in the back of your mind this thing going on and saying, well, I'll partially repent. I remember there were some guys that got born again back in the early days of my army time. That this guy really got on fire for God, man, and he was really bugging me. You know? So finally, you know, I was willing to go to a Bible study with him. You know, on the way to the Bible study, we got in a car wreck. Oh, yes. So I think, oh, I don't know if I want to do that anymore. See how the devil will try to interfere, amen? But there was something going on there, but that in my heart I knew that I needed something better, and there was things in my life that I knew I was captive by, and I didn't know how to break free from it, but I didn't really want to because I was familiar with that, and I was used to it, and it was something that at least I knew I could be, you know, I could depend on, I thought. If I had a bad day, I'd just go get drunk. It was a God I could bow down to and depend on, see? It was a familiar thing. But God said, you got to topple those idols. You got to break them down. You got to destroy them completely. When you're willing to repent, to get rid of those idols, get them out, now you're in position for my forgiveness. And once I forgive you of that, because you have truly repented in your heart, you will be free from that. And that's exactly what happened. Hallelujah. I went to the store one day and I bought a quart of beer. I was just going to down it and get a little buzz going on. And I got about halfway down that thing. And this is after I had that experience in my bedroom. And I knew the Lord had come into my heart and things were different now. But I was still kind of hanging on to some things, you know. I got about halfway down with that bottle. And all of a sudden it looked nasty. It tasted nasty. I was like, oh man, what was I thinking? So I papped it off, threw it in the garbage, and guess what? I believe the moment that hit that garbage can, done. And I was drinking like a fish for a long time. God set me free. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. I used to go to church and I come back after church, fill up the bowl. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And one day I came back after church, after Sunday evening service, been up praising the Lord, you know. I came back and I loaded that bowl up, and the same thing happened again. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God came on me. It was like, oh, this is repulsive. And I love pot. It was repulsive, and I took it, threw it away, boom, set free. Hallelujah. Obedience. Obedience to the Spirit of God. Repentance produces works, fruit. Amen. Meet for repentance. When you are ready to say yes, Lord, and you're not compromising in the back of your mind or making excuses for it or unwilling to let go of that tether that has you back in your old life, when you're willing to really let it go, God sees your heart, He forgives you, and He sets you free from it. That's why a lot of recovering addicts continue in that cycle. Because deep down in their heart, they're still not really willing to get rid of that completely. They want to have it as an alternative. They want to be like the people of Israel in the wilderness saying, but we still have Egypt as an alternative, you know. You see, God was very upset with them because in their hearts they were going back to Egypt. He says, I brought you out of here to set you free from that, to break that off for your life. And you're talking about going back to Egypt. And see, in their hearts, they were unbelieving. It was unbelief. And unbelief was keeping them tethered in their mind and their mentality to Egypt. And as long as they were thinking like that, they continued to live like that. As long as they thought like a slave, they lived like a slave. But in Christ Jesus, we're no longer slaves to sin. We're set free. Praise God. Amen. We're free people. No longer a slave. I'm a son. So I don't have to be under the power of anything this world has. Amen? Mankind is bound by unforgiven sins. God wants us to have rest, guys. God wants us to deal with the giants that stand in our way so that you can enter into Sabbath rest here and now. Don't wait for heaven. God wants you to be free now. God wants you to have rest now. God wants you to have His peace now. Amen? God wants you to have righteousness now. God wants you to have joy now in the Holy Spirit. Not in self, but in Him. But I got to get out of self and into Him to have that. I've got to forsake the idol of self-worship so I'm in position to worship Him and receive from Him what I need. As long as I'm self-confident, I won't be Christ-confident, and I won't have the grace to overcome. So we got to topple the idol of selfish ambition. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
Here's another one in John chapter 5. Jesus, He heals this lame man, finding the man later in the temple. He said to him, "Now you are well. Stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you." Here it is again. What is He saying? You've got to come out. You've got to sever it. You've got to completely cut it off. Don't go back and revisit that sin, or something worse could happen to you. How many of us have experienced that? How many of you seen others experience that? They were doing good, but they still had that tether. They still had that connection, that soul tie, whatever it was, that they weren't willing to let it go. And because of that, even though they got forgiven, amen, and even though they received the benefit and the blessing, even the temporary joy that came with that forgiveness, in their hearts, they were unrepentant. And as a result, they ended up going right back to what? That vomit. Like a dog that vomits and goes back into it. Yeah. And God says, when I clean you up, I don't want you going back in the hog pen, right? Stay out of it. You're a child of God. You're no longer a slave to this world or this sinful world. You're no longer a slave to Satan, but you're my free man, woman. 1 Corinthians 15:34, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, "Think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. For to your shame, I say that some of you don't know God at all." Now, let's rightly divide this. 1 John 3:6-8. "Anyone who continues to live in Him will not sin, but anyone who keeps on sinning does not know Him." It doesn't say that you won't make mistakes. It means you don't keep on sinning. "Does not know Him or understand who He is. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to" what? "Destroy the works of the devil." Why would we indulge in anything that's destructive to us? Amen. And it's contrary to our nature in Christ. When God has given us the grace, the ability to overcome the world through Him, there's no excuse. There's no reason why we should be indulging in sin any longer as a child of God, because that's not who we are. If you are truly born again and in Christ, you will bear the fruit of that. There will be evidence of that in your life. Your life will demonstrate that you're a true child of God. There are a lot of people who claim to be Christians. "Oh yeah, I invited Jesus into my heart. I'm a Christian." And you look at their life and say, "No, you're not. I'm looking at the fruit on your tree." "Oh, don't judge me." Well, judge the fruit. The fruit is hanging low. What do you mean, "Don't judge you"? It's right there. I'm not judging your heart. I'm looking at what's happening here. Do you get it, guys? We don't want to be hypocrites. We don't want to be stage players. We don't want to be people that are saying one thing, living another. Either we're in Christ or we're not. And guess what, guys? You're not truly going to be saved. You're not truly going to be born again. There are people who are in this false understanding or belief that somehow they're saved when they're not. A saved person bears the fruit of that salvation. A saved person is one who has come out and then come in. to Christ. You see, understand this. You can't be tethered to the old. Once you're born again, things change. Desires change. Abilities that you once didn't possess, you have now in Christ. You can say no to sin. You can say no to your flesh because you have the Spirit of the Lord in you and the desires of God are in you. He's written that law in your hearts and you now have a heart that desires to please God. That's when you're saved. Amen. Doesn't mean when we make a mistake, we feel rotten about it, right? Because of the Spirit of God within us. So you can't keep on sinning. You can't enjoy it anymore. Praise God. Man, I'm willing to bet that if I'm not going to practice this, but if I would go out and have a drink right now, it would probably be horrible. It would taste horrible to me. Just like that beer did that one day. Thank God for that. Amen. Don't give up in the fight either to overcome these giants in your life. Understand who you are in God and who God is in you and that the ability that you have is from Him to overcome anything that you may feel like you're addicted to or under the power of. God is not weak. God is greater than that. Much greater. Trust in the Lord and His grace, His ability to come clean and to live clean. Come out from all forms of evil and wickedness. We're not children of the devil anymore. Amen. We can't ignore the words of Jesus and Paul in the Bible to stop sinning. Leave your life of sin. Quit your sinning. Or the words of the angel to Joseph that Jesus would do what? Save his people from their sin. Not in it. He doesn't leave you in that hog pen. God takes you out of it. Amen? He puts his Spirit within you. And he gives you a new heart and a new desire. Amen? The law now written in our hearts, we know what pleases God and what doesn't please God. Because when we do something that displeases Him, we know it. Thank God for that conviction. Amen. Almost through Ephesians 4:21-24. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature, your old former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Amen. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. We need to come out of the former life of unrepented sin. And we need to be made new through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We need to put off the old sins, the evil thoughts, the words, the deeds of our old self. Because God wants us to walk in victory. Because Christ has conquered sin. He wants us to forsake sin and overcome by His grace. So listen, guys, God doesn't want any one of His children falling short of a full possession of His promise for you. God promises rest to those who are repentant and obedient. If we're obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. Amen? If we're rebellious, don't be, like Paul said, a stubborn mule or horse that has to be bridled. But cooperate with God in this. God loves you so much. He has so much better for us. We need to see that and understand His heart for us is good. And if He's telling us to let something go, it's a good thing to let it go. Because you're letting go of an inferior thing that you might have something superior in its place. Walk obedient with Him every day of your life here on earth. Because not only will we experience His rich blessings here and now, but after death, we'll enter into the ultimate final blessings of eternity in God's presence. You must come out if you're going to come in or enter in. You get it? You've got to come out. Make up your mind. Repent. Because Jesus came to save us from, out of our sins. Praise God. And she shall, here's a Christmas message for you. She will bring forth a son. And you shall call his name, for he will save his people from their sins. How many here are free today? Yeah. Amen? Hallelujah. If God has set you free, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk according to the Spirit. Amen? If Christ is in you, obey the Spirit. He'll give you the grace every day. Stay strong in the Lord, brethren, in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Build your spirit up. Amen. Be in the Word of God. Be in church. Be in fellowship. I want everybody, amen, to be strong and to be prepared for the day when we see Jesus as a chaste virgin, amen, a bride that has prepared herself for the Lord to be presented in that day. Because we have broken every tether, every tie, we have forsaken the past and sin to embrace the new day, the new beginning in Christ, the new life that He has for us. There is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean, on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him.